Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
As you heard, there are lots of developments in the Middle East over the weekend. This was the sound in Egypt. Those are peaceful protesters in Cairo's Tahrir Square on Saturday chanting peaceful, peaceful before Egyptian security forces opened fire. Another big development over the weekend in Egypt was President Mubarak speaking to the nation for the first time since being forced from power in February.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Ikhwa wal-Akhawar.
Even without knowing Arabic, you can hear the emotion in his voice. He's denying allegations of corruption and taking billions of dollars out of the country, saying he only has one bank account. How have Egyptians responded to Mubarak's claims of innocence? How are they dealing with the army's attempt to control the pace of change? And, of course, the violence over the weekend. Ethan Bronner is with us, Jerusalem Bureau Chief for our partner in the New York Times. He joins us from Cairo this morning. Ethan, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Let me frame this into three categories. It seems that there are three categories of issues that the Egyptians are dealing with. One, finding a new civilian leadership, which is one challenge. Secondly, figuring out what the nature of reconciliation is to be when you think about the former regime, principally President Mubarak. And then there's this relationship with the army, which seems to be in the flux right now. What's the most challenging? And just run down that list as how this is going in Egypt right now.
Well, it's a good framing of the issues. I mean, there's a strong emotional desire to bring justice because of the notion that President Mubarak and his family have led this place for 30 years, and in the course of it had somehow salted away hundreds of millions or billions of dollars of stuff. There is a desire by the prosecution to get other countries to help them find. Yesterday, as you said, President Mubarak and the former President Mubarak spoke about how that was not true, that they never owned anything outside of the country, and that all of this is a lie and a terrible besmirching of his name. That's one thing. It's been a very emotional issue for obvious reasons, a country where about 40% of the people live on $2 a day. The idea also is that the military itself, in theory, would like to get out of the business of governing because it's done very well in the business of owning much of the country and not being responsible for governing. So they're pushing for elections come September. But meanwhile, they're in charge of this transition, and it is not easy after decades of difficulty and a lot less going on than should have gone on in this country in terms of innovation and so on to bring anything positive to happen here. And then there is this business about people, their impatience bringing them back to Tahrir Square on Friday and Saturday. The deal was they're allowed to come on Friday, but Tahrir Square is an important roundabout, as you know well, for traffic, and then they were closing it off on Friday night and Saturday, and the army came in and tried to clear them out. Two people were killed, and now they're still threatening to do something about that, but so far have not.
It seems, Ethan Bronner, that the army would rather negotiate with some leader, any committee of leaders at this point, than constantly having to negotiate the future with the protesters in Tahrir Square, as you've mentioned.
Yes, you're right about that. I mean, it becomes impossible for them to know what to do. And, of course, the army, you know, and its links to Mubarak are also still a very emotional issue in this country. I mean, in certain ways, not that much has changed. Mubarak handed power to Suleiman, his vice president, who handed power to Tantawi. And these guys are all sort of a piece in many ways. And so one of the chants that you heard in Tahrir Square on Saturday and Sunday was to get rid of the court marshal Tantawi, the current sort of head of the military council.
And it appears as though the Egyptian people are ready to go back into Tahrir Square over anything that smacks or smells like it's still part of Mubarak's plan. But as you were alluding to earlier, that includes the military, which was such a hero during the rebellion.
Yes, you're right, Celeste. I mean, this is the problem, is that it's impossible to disentangle the military from almost every element of life in this country. The military has been walking very carefully to try to maintain its bright and shining image. But it's not easy. And you know, as I said earlier, there is enormous unemployment, terrible undereducation, and people, you know, have had a revolution and expect life to be better, and it's just not at the moment. And so people are driven back into the square. I was there again last night, and it's almost like sort of a mini Hyde Park with many people, agriculture workers in one corner, taxi drivers in another, all talking about their problems, which are enormous in this country.
Ethan Bronner, Jerusalem Bureau Chief, for our partner in the New York Times. As Jerusalem Bureau Chief, you well know the influence that Egypt has on the regional issues there. As the country sort of looks inward and tries to focus on this nation building, what do you think happens to the regional issues, particularly Jordan, the situation in Gaza and with the Israelis?
Well, it's clear that this, as you said, this revolution was not inspired by concerns over its relationship with Israel and so on. But inevitably, the anti-Mubarak that follows will have to take account of a desire for a clean slate. There is already a report today, which I haven't been able to check, that the Egyptians have stopped building this wall underneath the sand in the Sinai that was being used to prevent Hamas from smuggling more weapons into Gaza. Whether they've actually stopped building the wall or not, it seems likely to me that they have. Meanwhile, there's no doubt that there's talk of rethinking the peace treaty in some fashion or rethinking the relationship with Israel. Nothing drastic is happening now. But, you know, Israel, of course, is worried, and there's every reason to imagine that a reevaluation will occur.
Suddenly, a lot of variables. Give us a sense before we go of the impatience in the voices of the protesters that you've experienced over the weekend in your time in Tahrir Square.
Well, with regard to this issue?
With regard to just the general sense, you know, months away from the uprising that brought Mubarak down, how are people feeling?
People are feeling very impatient, and there is a sense that whither this revolution. I mean, it is also true that there are plenty of rational voices saying, look, it takes time and so on. But, you know, to sort of the euphoria, and I think there's still a sense of some happiness here about having thrown off the chains. You still feel that, but you also feel, what does it mean looking ahead? How is this going to play out without a sense of that it's going to play out in a particularly happy way in the short and medium term?
Soberly looking ahead, folks in Egypt. Ethan Bronner, Jerusalem Bureau Chief, for our partner, the New York Times, reporting there live from Cairo. Thank you, Ethan.
Thank you, John.